Good evening. Welcome to Thirst. Glad to have each one of you here this evening. And we're going to be sharing on Jesus' easy yoke. And this is my very favorite passage in the Bible, Matthew 11, 25 to 30. And we're going to do a Lectio Divina meditation after we introduce our subject, but we'll be spending most of the time in this scripture meditation, which is Lectio Divina. It's just a Latin word for divine reading. It's just an ancient way of prayerfully reading a scripture passage and rereading it with some quiet and some focused questions, and I'm sure that you'll find it meaningful. I imagine some of you have done it before. Have you done Lectio Divina? We've done it at Thirst a while ago, so but it's just it trains us in slowing down and really marinating in the scriptures and listening to God's voice through the scripture applied to our life. So it's a great discipline. It's been very meaningful for Christy and I. So the theme, though, that this passage works with is so very powerful and peaceful for our lives, the easy yoke of Jesus. So let's have a prayer and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in this day that you've made for us. And we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together as followers of Jesus and to meditate on your words together and to open our hearts to you, listen for your voice. As we're gathered here, we're gathered in Jesus' name. And we ask, O Jesus, that you would be our teacher this evening. We join together in our faith right now that you are the risen Christ. You are here and now present and active. You know each one of us, the longings of our hearts, whatever hurts or stress we might be experiencing. We are in this room, Lord, because we want to meet with you. So we open our hearts to you. We're eager to hear from you. Thank you that you're alive and well in this room and inside our hearts. Thank you for the gift that Matthew 11 is to us in the easy yoke of Jesus. So we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the easy yoke of Jesus, let's try to set a contrast here. I imagine that you may have thought at some point in your life, or certainly you've heard other people say how the Christian life is hard. Sometimes we talk about the narrow path. Jesus said, you know, that there's the broad path, and a lot of people are on the broad path, and but that leads to death. But then there's the narrow path, which leads to life, but only a few find it. And sometimes we think about that. Oh boy, the narrow path. It's really tough. It's hard. I mean, there's a lot of things we got to give up to be a Christian. You know, we don't get to party anymore. You know, it's this kind of mentality. But if we really think about that, and you just kind of look at life and how life goes, and you look at people who are following Jesus earnestly. With devotion, and you compare that to people in the world, you would come to the conclusion that the easier life is the life with Jesus. Obviously, it's the better life, but it's also the easier life. But to experience that ease, we have to get into a yoke. If you've thought about the contrast of easy and yoke, we like easy, but we might not like yoke. And you probably haven't seen a yoke today. But, of course, in Jesus' day, there were yokes all over the place. It's the farming equipment, right? A couple oxen get yoked together to pull a plow. And if you know how that works, a farmer will pair a young ox who needs to learn how to pull the plow with a mature ox who's already been broken in. and he'll put them in the yoke together, because the strong, mature ox knows how to do it. Will walk straight ahead, steady, strong, and sure. But the young ox isn't so happy to be in the yoke, and might want to kind of jerk his way out of it, or try to hurry to get done, or dig his heels in. But that mature ox just kind of just keeps going steadily, and eventually the young ox will get the idea how it works and getting cadence with the other ox, you see, so that they're pulling the plow across the field together. And so in this analogy, of course, you and I are oxen. You might not like being compared to an ox. You might not think it a flattering thing if somebody called you an ox. But Jesus is the other ox, so maybe it's not such a bad deal. See, so the idea is that we're yoked to Jesus. And the other idea here, I mean, it's obvious, but we need to say it, is, well, it's about getting work done. Not just work that you might do at a job, certainly including that, but anything good that you might accomplish in your house, in a conversation with a friend, gardening, we were talking about gardening, and anything that you might do with your hands or with your mind that would be serving somebody, helping somebody, accomplishing something of value. You know, we're an ox over there in the kitchen. Any work that we might do, particularly work that the Lord lays out for us to do, or work that we would devote to the Lord, which hopefully would be all of our work. The idea now is that we can do that in the yoke with Jesus. We're doing his work, pulling the plow across the field. And that when we do it with Jesus, this is a very close ox to ox, person to person relationship. See? And as we grow in this intimacy with Jesus, this conversational relationship, this walking together in cadence, see, there's a lightness and an ease and a joy that can enter in now to the work that we're doing, to whatever we're doing. And this is the idea behind the Easy Yoke passage, that we're learning from Jesus how to live our life in his way. How to work in the rhythms of grace is the paraphrase in the message. The rhythms of grace. I love that. Love that term. Rhythms of grace. See? So there's a way of doing things in the easy yoke, and then there's the other way, the hard way. And maybe some of you know about that. I know about that. Doing things out of striving and ambition, and worry, anxiety, fear, hurry, frustration, complaining, things like that. For instance, in my life in ministry, for a number of years, I get to lead a lot of different meetings. And I was talking with a friend about this today over lunch. Because it's a challenge that a lot of pastors and leaders have, is, you know, leading a meeting. Now, in your case, it might be a family meeting, or it might be conversation at a dinner, or it might be getting together with a friend and having a conversation. And maybe there's some important things to talk about. And so I just want to give you an example here. We just sort of think together about how do we approach this situation. And one way of doing it that I know very well is I have my agenda for the meeting or the conversation and the things that I think are important to be accomplished. And I feel very earnest and perhaps pressured about those goals being realized. See? And so I'm sort of driving towards accomplishing those goals, getting that agenda, getting through it, helping a person in a particular way, or And if it's in a conversation maybe with one of my kids, I might have a particular outcome I think is important for their life or some situation that's going on and maybe in a relationship that they're in, you see. And so we can get into where we're trying to make something happen. And we might, probably most of the time, we as far as we know, we have good intentions with this, hoping to be helpful and to accomplish something worthwhile. But even if that's the case, if our way of leading that meeting or that conversation, our way of participating in it, if it is out of my ego, my ambition, that's not the way of Jesus. See, now I'm back into the position of the young ox who's resisting the oak, resisting the yoke. The young ox who's resisting the oak. That was almost a tongue twister. And I'm trying to get out of that, you see. The yoke is something that we submit to. And we maybe, you know, I think that, I'm sure that all of us in this room understand that in coming to Christ, we come for salvation. We're coming to the Lord and the King, and we submit our life to Him. We turn our life over to Him. And but we might not understand as well that that's not just about our commitment to become a follower of Jesus, but it's actually meant to be about how we live our life every moment in all that we do. And it's one thing to write down on our list of values, you know, Jesus is first, Jesus is my Lord, you know, I love God and want to serve Him with my life. And of course, that's important. But what we're talking about now is, well, how do we get that worked into the details of how we live? So how do you participate in a conversation in a way that you're in this yoke with Jesus so that He is leading you and you're following Him? This is what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 11, 25 to 30. Because the great thing about Jesus is, and this passage, I think, as much or more than any other, in my understanding, just the heavens just opened with these five verses. And we get an incredible window into the beauty of Jesus Christ, His heart, His attitude, and His way with the Father. And what we see is that Jesus is in a yoke. He is yoked to the Father. See, Jesus is, He's the first disciple. He's a disciple of the Father. And so Jesus doesn't ask us to do things that He hasn't learned to do. He has tested the commandments. He has tested the wisdom of God and found it to be true and worthwhile and a wonderful treasure. He has found the path of life under heaven to be the best path. And if there was a better way of life than is laid out in the Ten Commandments, than is laid out in the Bible, Jesus would be the first one to say, well, go ahead and follow it. He would be behind that. If there was something that was more true, more effective, more wise, more helpful, more grace-giving, more life-giving than the way laid out in the Bible, He would be the first to say, by all means, let's go that way. Now, of course, there isn't a better way than the way that's in the Bible. But we need to appreciate that with the Bible, it's not just like, because I said so. You know, as parents, we might revert into that sort of method of with our kids when we're frustrated, you know, why do I have to do this? Because I said so. We just get too frustrated with trying to, you know, explain it all. But, you know, God is very patient to teach us and to show us that His way is indeed best. And Jesus knows that. He's proved it by His experience. He's leading us on the best way. So He has lived what He taught. See, and that's a great key to understanding Jesus. So it's like He's saying to us, hey, I'm in this easy yoke. I found this better way of life. by submitting myself to the Father in all that I do, remember he said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I have found that this is an easy yoke. This is a delightful way. This is the way to peace and happiness. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says, in effect, I'm not trying to make things happen here. The Father is at work, and I'm joining the Father's work. Or, to put it in other words, he's saying, I don't have an agenda to force on you. I'm not going to try to pressure you to do what I think you should do. I'm going to just invite you into the way that I have learned to live and that I know is best. See, that's the heart of Jesus. And we need to just sort of fix in our mind Jesus with a smile and his arms open. And he's saying, come to me. Let me show you how to live a good life. And in whatever it is that we're doing now, leading a meeting, an important conversation with someone that we're concerned about or someone we're trying to help, driving our car, you know. I mean, there's a way of, I know how to be driving my car and I'm grabbing the steering wheel kind of tight. I'm in a hurry and I'm pressing and I'm anxious. And in fact, I know how to be driving the car, eating my breakfast, shaving, and on the phone all at the same time. Electric shaver. Not shaving cream. I mean, I don't do that anymore, but I know it's kind of crazy, but in my nature, in my history, I'm like an efficiency nut, you know, get more done in less time. If there's a way to do that, that's me, you know, find the shortest line. And you know, this is not sinful, what I'm describing to you, but it's not the wisest way to live. It's certainly not the most peaceful way to live, to be in a hurry. And it's something I've struggled with all my life. I don't have it resolved. But God has helped me a lot with this, and I've learned a different way of driving. Most of the time. Slower, more relaxed. I keep quiet in the car. I usually pray. Sometimes I listen to teaching tapes. I meditate on Scripture. I try to get places early. Sometimes I don't do that as well as I would like to do. But even if I'm late, I want to be in an attitude of not hurrying, not rushing around, not trying to make things happen. And it's an easier yoke. It's a better way. I know a way of life, and I'm sure many of you do too, about worrying about things. Mm-hmm. About what's not going right in my life or in the lives of my loved ones, and just churning over, trying to solve problems, trying to fix things. I lived a lot of my life that way, where if you got inside my head, you'd be like, wow, it's kind of anxious in there. It's kind of pressured. It's like a lot of stress going on. You know? No wonder you're hurrying. See? Well, we don't have to live that way. Jesus offers us a different way. We get into the yoke. We submit to him in the details of how we do what we do. And of course, the Word of God is extremely helpful to us in this process of submitting ourselves more fully to the God of grace. For instance, we learn to, when we're worrying about things, We learn to turn our thoughts to Scripture meditations and to draw nourishment and life from the Word of God. Of course, we also need to talk to somebody about how we feel and pray to God about how we feel and seek comfort and understanding. That's part of the picture. But we can put our mind on Scripture and meditate on that. That's a kind of way into the yoke. As is being vulnerable and sharing with somebody and being listened to, because that takes courage to do that, see, to really open up and talk about what's going on. And these sorts of things help us then not to worry. And so if we train, see, the yoke, is about training. We don't experience the easy yoke until we are trained, like that young ox that's walking along with the mature ox. It takes time and practice for the young ox to get broken in and become comfortable and at peace, and actually do this in sync with the mature ox. And so we're learning to drive with Jesus. We're learning to lead a meeting or have a conversation in a gracious way, in a prayerful way, where we're doing it with Jesus. Lord, what do you want accomplished here? And we're seeking to listen. And we're just talking to Jesus as we're doing what we're doing. I'm not sure what to do here. What do you have in mind? You know, I led a meeting last night. It was a difficult meeting that we had. And I wouldn't have wanted to do that in my own strength, even though I have a lot of training with what we were doing there. But it was kind of a combination of a prayer meeting and a accountability meeting and a group therapy meeting. It was an unusual sort of meeting where we're trying to help a friend with a challenge in their marriage. And there was a whole group of us around there, and I was facilitating the meeting. And I couldn't have done that if I wasn't in the yoke of Jesus. I couldn't have led that meeting with a script. There were too many things that were unpredictable. And it was kind of precarious because this wasn't a group therapy situation. So that wasn't what we were doing. But, of course, it was helpful that I was a psychologist. But we were dealing with some very personal things, but it was in a very prayerful, spiritual sort of way. And we were including other people in that. And we did some scripture meditation together. So it was a complex sort of thing. And I've done all these things. I've trained in all of these ways. We were putting them all together in a challenging situation. And I just want you to get the picture that as I'm leading this meeting, not knowing what to expect, not knowing exactly what's needed, the only way I was able to do that in a way that it proved to be really helpful for this couple was I was listening to Jesus as we went along. And it wasn't like the Lord was, you know, writing on the wall, you know, do this. It was much more subtle than that. But the key thing that I've learned, and I don't always do this well, I'm still learning, but the key thing is it's in our attitude, it's in our demeanor. The key thing is not hearing explicit instructions from God. Because a lot of times you get guidance from God and you don't even know it. You don't attribute it to God. A thought comes into your mind that's wise and helpful, and it was the Lord speaking to you and you didn't even realize it. You just thought it was your own idea. But the key thing is, are we watching? Are we listening? You see? And so if you were inside my head in this two-hour meeting, there would have been a number of times, I don't know how many, 12 or 20 or 50, just lots of times, I said, Lord, I'm not sure what to do now. And then I just would try to listen to what thoughts might come into my mind. You see? So, you know, I've been training in this way for a long time, but just want to give you a vision that you can do this. When you're in a conversation with somebody over coffee, you know, you're listening to them, you're talking to one of your kids on the phone, and you have a concern for them, remember just to shoot up a little prayer. Lord, would you guide this conversation? Sometimes when you're about to speak, don't speak and take a breath. Say, Lord, what do you want to say here? See what happens. Probably the other person will talk. But see, you've accomplished something very important. You held your tongue, and you got into the yoke, and you're listening to the Lord. And that, cultivating that demeanor will serve you very, very well. That's an example of what it means to be in the easy yoke of Jesus. And, of course, the best way to practice this is off the spot, out of the spotlight, before you get into that conversation. If you wait until the conversation if the Lord's speaking to you about how you're driving, for instance, and you say, okay, I'm going to drive differently, you know, and then you wait until you're in the car, okay, now what did Bill say, you know, but you're already in a hurry, it's too late. Your body is surging with adrenaline or worry, and your habits have taken over, you're going to drive the way you've always driven. Or you're going to participate in that conversation the way you've always done it. But if you train before you get into the situation, you pray about it. You do some scripture meditation. You imagine yourself in that situation. And you imagine yourself doing it in the easy yoke of Jesus. See, that's the secret. That's the secret of the easy yoke. And that's what this passage is all about. Jesus is saying, hey, let me show you. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Train with me. Let me teach you. Let me teach you how to become a different kind of person on the inside, so that when you're challenged, when you're stressed, you can do that, you can approach that situation in my rhythms of grace. So that's probably enough of an introduction. That's a little more than I intended to get into. But maybe before we're going to do the scripture meditation just a minute, but maybe you have a question or a comment, if there's something that's, you know, you're not quite settled in there, or anything you'd like to express, now's a good time for that.
Can you just go over that again? Like, so while you're in the middle of it, you're asking, like, Jesus, you know, can you be in this conversation? Can you guide what I'm going to say next? And you're sort of listening for, you know, for that feeling that this is God's thought, or this is his instruction to you. And I think that I'm more aware of his guidance in during my devotional time, when I'm all alone, and all of a sudden this scripture came four times in 3 days, and it's accompanied by this, I'm crying because I feel the Holy Spirit within me, and circumstances are affirming, and it feels that God has said something. And, it's less that what you're describing in terms of that subtlety of knowing this is his thought versus my thought. You know, it's a little, we've been training a long time to get to that place. So that's one idea, one thing I'd like to hear a little bit more about. And also what you're saying is, before you actually get into the situation, you're saying, you know, imagine yourself doing it in the easy yoke of Jesus. Like, can you explain that a little more?
Bill, let me give an example.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Christine.
Yeah. A little over a year ago, I was sitting at my computer, and I just kind of felt prompted to read an email that came through. And I read the email, and it was from the Board of Behavioral Science Examiner saying that there was a new license in the state of California, and that there was a very short period of time where licensed marriage and family therapists, which I am, could apply for this new license, which is the licensed professional counselor. And if they applied, they had to have a certain number of courses and pass an exam and some other things. Normally, I wouldn't have looked at the email, but I really felt, you know, God kind of prompting me to do this. And then normally I would have looked at all the requirements and I would have been overwhelmed. And I would have felt anxiety. And I would have felt like, that's too much work. You know, it's not worth it. I don't want to do that. But instead, I found myself praying, Lord, is this something you want me to do? Is this an invitation from you? And I sensed, yeah. And so I made the decision there. I'm not going to do this in my own striving. I'm not going to make this happen. I'm going to surrender it to you, but I'm going to go ahead and walk through the door that that you're opening in front of me. So I began to do that. I began to see, okay, what classes are required, and then, you know, pulled out my transcript for my doctorate. I got that, and then I had to submit things, and so that involved waiting and, you know, getting transcripts and working with somebody. And but all through the time, usually in the past, like when I got my other licenses or getting established, I would feel anxious. I would strive. I would work so hard. You know, they got it. Why haven't I heard from them? Are they going to approve it? Are they not? You know, I mean, all this turmoil, all this worry, all this preoccupation, all this, you know, ruminating. None of that this time, because I was able to just be in the easy yoke with Jesus. Okay, you want me to walk through this door? Okay, do it. You're with me. You know, listening to the Lord, all about it, talking all about it. Well, then I got the application approved and sent off, and I was waiting to hear back if I'd be eligible to take the exam. And I had heard back that I was eligible to take the exam right, like, 2 weeks before Christmas. And I, you know, it was crazy time, Christmas, everything. So I just kind of set it aside. And there again, normally I would have felt like, I've got to get to that. I've got to get, you know, I've got to work on that. I've got to get to that. I've got to shoot. There's this short window of time. It's got to be done. And instead, I was just able to kind of let it go, you know, listen to the Lord, be with him. Well, then, 8 days after Christmas, my dad died. And then, I had no energy to invest in this or to think about this or to deal, you know, with this achievement. And so there again, I just abandoned it to the Lord and just, you know, no, Sarah, I'm just going to trust you and I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to do this in my own strength. I'm just going to trust you, wait on you, interacting with the Lord. Just, he's right here with me. This isn't something, I don't need to plow this field on my own and make this happen and achieve this. And then all of a sudden, again, I'm sitting at my computer, it's end of January, and I get this email that there's a class that's a preparation for the exam that I needed to take to get the license, because I'd been approved for it, but I had to pass the test in order to get it. So I'm praying, Lord, is this something you want me to do? And I just kind of said, yeah. And so I talked to Bill. I said, I'm thinking this might be something I should do. And, you know, I haven't had any energy or any thought about it, but I'm praying about it. And here, you know, I found out about this. And he's like, yeah, I think you should do it. I'll support you. So I went to the class. The class was really excellent. And then I found out that I could sit the exam, like, in 2 days. Like, the class was Saturday, and I could sit the exam on Monday. And there again, it was kind of like, I didn't want all the anxiety. So I just, you know, should I do that? Should I do, you know, should I wait and study longer? And I sensed from the Lord, no, you know, sign up, take the exam, take it Monday. You know, I'm with you in this. And so there again, I just abandoned the outcomes to the Lord. I mean, I did the work. I went to the class. I reviewed the materials between Saturday and Monday. But, you know, I mean, I went to church. I went to our small group that night. I interacted with our family. I didn't let it dominate. I wasn't in this, I've got to make this happen. I've got to do this. I've got to know all this. I've got to make sure I've got to know all this. I've got to, you know, read all these other things and make sure. And instead, it was just, I'm with you. I'm in the yoke, trusting you. And I had a lot of prayer, too. I just asked some people to pray for me. And, you know, I'm singing praise songs on the way to take the exam. Such a contrast to the yoke of trying to get my license and my things, yes. You know, 25 years earlier, where I was, you know, all anxious and worrying, looking at my notes in the car, and, you know, total country. This time, it's just praising the Lord, enjoying his presence, you know, going and take the exam the whole time. Jesus is here. I'm interacting with him. I'm praying. I'm listening. The exam is, you know, you got, there's four good answers to every question, and you got to pick the best answer. And I'm like, well, I'm not sure. I think that may be the best answer. But, you know, I'm just praying. Just, Lord, give me discernment. Which is the best answer here? I'm not sure. They both seem really, two of these options seem really excellent. And just listening, just trusting God's presence, him to give me discernment. It was a totally different experience in the easy yoke. And I passed the exam. I got my license. I was the fourth person in the state of California to get it. And it wasn't by my own anxiety or huge stress or achievement. It was just being in the easy yoke with Jesus, just enjoying his presence, just following him, just putting in the effort, you know, as he opened the door and invited me to or directed my attention to. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a big difference.
Good.
You know?
Good.
I know just what you mean.
Okay.
Thanks, Christy. So the thing to focus on in what Christy said is that she illustrated being in a conversational relationship with God about what she's doing and abandoning the outcomes to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's a way of describing the yoke, abandoning the outcomes to God. It doesn't mean you don't care about the outcomes. It doesn't mean you don't do some work, but it means you're in your attitude, you're not trying to make something happen. You're submitting to the Lord as you do what you do. That's the key to the easy yoke. Any other question or comment?
How would you distinguish that from what you psychologists call denial?
Good question.
Well, did you notice in my earlier example about the value of when we're worrying, meditating on Scripture, that I coupled that with the importance of being honest about what we feel, what we need. And Christy did that. In this whole process, she talked with me about her emotions, and we prayed together about those things. So, she wasn't in denial. Yeah, denial is not a good thing. It's never a good thing, and that's a problem that a lot of us have as Christians. If we're not more particularly if we're not more psychologically minded, we can go to Scripture and to Bible teaching in a way that we're trying not to feel certain things. And that's never helpful. It's the tricky thing is with emotions is it's not good to be controlled by our emotions, but it's just as bad to deny our emotions. So those are like opposite mistakes. So the place we want to be with our emotions is to be aware. It's always helpful. I mean, look at the Psalms as an example, all the laments, or the cursing Psalms. Psalms is very honest. All the Scripture is like this. It's very helpful to be honest about what we feel and what we need, because it's only when we're aware of it that we can then do something with it, submit it to God, learn something, you know, receive comfort. So awareness is really, really important when it comes to emotions, and that needs to be coupled with the wisdom of Scripture. And most of us will err on one side or the other. We'll give too much priority to our emotions and get controlled by them and kind of get disconnected from the wisdom of Scripture, or we'll deny our emotions and just kind of get into our heads and we're spiritualizing things, and that's not helpful either. And the discipline we're going to do with Lectio Divina helps us with that integration of real life stuff and the Word of God. Yeah, Karen.
One of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Ephesians where it says, be angry but don't sin.
Yeah.
Let the sun go down on your wrath.
Right.
And I always read that, like, you know, if something makes you angry, you're really angry. We tend to think anger is evil, but no, not necessarily. Maybe there's some real just reason to be angry, but don't hang on to it. Mm-hmm. Take it right to the Lord. There's all kinds of steps of what you're supposed to do with anger when you feel it. Follow those steps.
Yeah.
Take it to the Lord. Take care of it. Make sure you've got it all done before you lay your head down at night. That's not a problem. You released it then. Mm-hmm. Released it to God.
Though, as somebody who lives in their head a lot, one of the things that I found helpful is to just start writing. Not particularly a journal, but just start writing and let it come, and it's amazing how that will get me down out of my head and mm-hmm. begin to admit the emotions that I'm having or the feelings that I'm having. Mm-hmm. And that's a discipline for me to do, is I really like writing, but sometimes when I'm really stuck, that really helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we all know the experience of being stuck with where we're just kind of going in a circle with our mm-hmm. thoughts about something, and obsessive sort of thinking or ruminating, like Christy said, is an indication that we need to find somebody safe and talk to that person about how we feel, or like Mom said, we need to write something down, write a prayer to God or a journal entry or an email to a trusted friend and put your thoughts and feelings down on paper. That then helps you to relate and get out of your head. Well, let's go into the Matthew 11 passage, and we'll spend the rest of our time with this. And this meditation will guide us in some of the things that we've been talking about in the way of feeling our feelings, for instance, meditating on Scripture. And, of course, we're working with Jesus' wonderful words about the easy yoke, and it's not just his teaching, this is his example. I think that will become evident to you as I lead us through the meditation. I'll try to save a little time. We'll see how it goes. But hopefully we'll have a little bit of time at the end in case you have any questions sort of about the process. So if you have a pen, you might want to be prepared to journal as we go along. Save time, and just for simplicity's sake, I'm not going to explain what we're going to do with much detail, except just to say that I'm going to recite this passage three times, and each time is going to have a different focus question for you to reflect on and pray on. And each reading will involve a period of quiet for you to just sit and soak in the Word of God and to listen. Particularly, is that focus question guides you? The focus question is three different ways of listening. And in the quiet, you might want to journal. If we were in small groups right now, I would give you a chance after each of the readings in the period of quiet, following that reading, I would give you a chance to share or pray out loud in your group. But most of this, we're going to just stick with journaling. But as we go along, just follow my prompts, and I'll be prompting us at each kind of section along the way. And the sheet will help you too. The instructions are on the top there. But as I share the passage with you, you might want to just practice listening without even reading it as a simplification, as a way of just letting the Word of God be ministered to you. Because I should say that what we're practicing here is Scripture meditation, which is different than Bible study. Mm-hmm. It's complementary to Bible study, but we don't want to get into analysis with this. It's more of an experience. It's more of a prayer. It's more about connecting with our hearts, with God. I have a little prayer that might just help us to enter into the Matthew 11 passage. In Jesus' name, not my strain. Just pause quietly and repeat that to ourselves slowly. In Jesus' name, not my strain. Now, as I do the first reading with the scripture passage, I invite you to listen for one word or phrase that the Holy Spirit draws your attention to. Join with me in trusting that God will do that for you. He will give you the gift of a particular word or phrase for you to meditate on. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and to say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Take my yoke upon you, and we'll pull the plow across the field together. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace that go with my easy yoke. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So as we're quiet for a couple of minutes, just listen for that word or phrase, and then just center yourself on that by gently and slowly repeating it to yourself. Heard a word or a phrase yet, don't worry about it, it might come to you later. But if you have had it impressed into your mind and heart, a word or phrase from this passage, I want to invite for you to prayerfully just speak that out loud with no explanation, just only speaking out loud that single word or that phrase, and then there'll be a chance for all of us to hear that and to meditate for a moment of quiet on that word or phrase, and then maybe somebody else would share a word or phrase, and again we'll linger quietly with that, and then maybe somebody else will share.
I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you.
Together.
Plow across the field together.
Get away with me and you'll recover your life.
Learn the unforced rhythms of grace.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to share in this passage a second time. And as we do, I want to invite you to listen for your emotions. What do you feel as you hear these words, as you imagine this scene and place yourself in it? Maybe some emotions arise in you. Maybe there's something going on in your life today, something that's challenging you, or some struggle that might relate that you have some feelings about. Pay attention. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people, even the childlike. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and to say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Take my yoke upon you. And we'll pull the plow across the field together. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace that go with my easy yoke. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So I'll take just a few minutes of quiet now for you to pay attention to your emotions, or maybe some situation in your life that the Lord puts his finger on. Just pray about that situation, pray about how you feel. You might want to journal. Do our third reading. You may want to continue that line of reflection and prayer on your feelings, talking to God about that and so forth. You can come back to that later. In this last reading of the passage, our focus question is, what is a personal invitation that you sense from the Lord? He may already getting an understanding of something that God is saying to you or offering to you. Let's really focus in on that now as we return to the Word of God. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hidden your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people, even the childlike. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and to say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Take my yoke upon you, and we'll pull the plow across the field together. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace that go with my easy yoke. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So we'll take a few minutes of quiet. So we just listen for that invitation, a personal invitation from the Lord. You might want to write down what you sense God saying to you, or a prayer of thanks. Or you can just quietly pray about these things. And we pray. Amen. Well, I hope that was a meaningful experience for you, and I really encourage you to share. Many of you came with somebody this evening. I hope you'll take some time in the car or over coffee to talk about your invitation from the Lord, which you sensed he might have said to you. Feelings and thoughts that you have about it. Maybe somebody would like to share briefly before we leave a comment or something about what this experience meant for you. It would be a blessing for the rest of us to hear from you. I hope that you noticed that this was Jesus giving us an example here. The context in this passage is that he's been frustrated with some groups of people that have rejected God, but he changes his tone. You notice how he abruptly breaks in prayer in the middle of what's going on right before. If you go back to your Bible later and read the whole context of Matthew 11, you'll see that Jesus has been pronouncing some woes, some doom on some cities that rejected his miracles. It's interesting how he shows us a little peek into how he deals with frustration. Abruptly, he breaks into prayer. He pauses. He quiets himself. And then look at what comes out of him. Look at the tone of gentleness and graciousness. Look at how apparently the Father helping him, he refocuses on the people right here in his midst and ministering to them in some of the most beautiful words ever spoken.
It's really important that you share your invitation from the Lord, even if you do it through email. Or if you don't have anybody to share with, ask God to provide somebody, to bring to your mind somebody you can share it with. Because if you don't, Satan will try to snatch it away and try to make you think you didn't really hear God. Mm-hmm. And you've got to tell somebody to help you to affirm it and claim it and walk and move forward in it.
Anybody want to do that now briefly? Thanks, Christy. Sure, or a few lines, or whatever you'd like to share, Karen.
Okay. Put on your dancing shoes and leave that pack behind. A dancer doesn't carry weights, don't weigh down your mind. The music of angelic praise transcends Earth's atmosphere. Reject those deafening words.
It's beautiful. Put on your dancing shoes, you began. That's...
dancing shoes. But the idea is we're carrying it. What weighs us down is our own thoughts, and we center on the earth, and we center on our life and our worries and our concerns, and we're not putting God in first place. And we do put God in first place, but that was a very nice way they said it there, the rhythms of grace. You know, I've always felt like God is surrounded by music every time you see him. Scripture, it's music. It's always around music and dancing and singing. And
those are beautiful thoughts, and, yeah. And it's a wonderful metaphor for the easy yoke, the rhythms of grace.
You've got to dance in the easy yoke. You cannot dance in the yoke of your own worries and fears. You're just going to be pulled down.
That's right. That's right. I love that. I mean, I have done this meditation that we just did dozens of times, and I've never had that association. But I won't forget that. That's beautiful.
It's interesting because I did think of dance too.
Really?
Yeah, because of the rhythm and grace.
Uh-huh.
But the imagery in my mind is in the beginning we're yoked together with him because he's training us. And then towards the end, that physical yoke is gone, but we're still going to be in step with him.
Yeah.
And as in a dance.
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5:25.
Discouraged by my physical weakness of his illness, but I sense an invitation to just do what I can and give all the rest over to him.
Mm.
Let him handle it how he wishes.
Good word, Mom. Thank you.
Jesus will reveal the Father to ordinary people.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that's really nice.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. It reminds me that one year ago, on my birthday, I did this meditation, and that was the word that God impressed upon me. And the gift I heard from him was, Bill, don't try to be a superstar. It wears you out. It fills you with stress and worry.
Mm-hmm.
My gift to you is just be an ordinary person who loves me and loves his neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The greatest one is the servant of all.
That's right.
I just wanted to...
Yeah, Billy.
Ladies said about the dancing because I was talking to God and telling him that I would submit to him and I want to walk with him, and he showed me images of Jesus and me dancing in a field, and it seemed like it was heaven to me, you know?
Wow.
That's what he showed me.
Thank you for sharing that. See, God gave you imagery and pictures and movement there. And that's one of the ways that God speaks to us is through our imagination. So I hope all of you are encouraged by that. We had three people hearing. Anybody else? That's amazing. I think we've got some confirmation here. I love that.
Before
that's
I came here. So.
Yeah.
So if you get from power to dancing, that has to be the Holy Spirit.
Normally make that connection, you know.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
Well, I have actually the same verse, but I was focusing on the unstrained,
unforced, rhythms of grace.
It's not another program. It's not another ritual. It's not another Bible study. It's not another anything. It's just grace, and to learn that by meditating, from the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Well, I hope that all of you will do what Christy encouraged and find someone to share with, find someone to pray with, and that'll really extend the benefits of this time that we've had. One of the ways that I do that is I journal. I was doing this meditation too, and I was journaling my thoughts, and I'll go back and read that. So, yeah, you wanted to share?
I was a kid for the entire year.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, we're preaching, Nate Wright is preaching something very similar.
Huh.
And one of the ways I thought of it was, do you consider yourself as a child of God, or do you consider yourself as a servant for God? Because if you just consider yourself a child, well, yes, you have to be obedient to him, but you have more privilege than a servant would.
Mm-hmm.
But if you consider yourself a servant for God, you have to obey him no matter what, or else you're dead meat. So, which way do you consider him? The best way is if you consider him both.
You're having some deep thoughts there. That's. Mm-hmm. Hope you'll stay with that and keep praying about that, what that means for you. Well, I think it's time to go. So thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us, your word that's living and active, and thank you for the dance. Mm-hmm. What a joy it is that you come to us with the freedom and the beauty, the rhythms, the loving way of a dance. As we go, we leave with joy in our spirit and dance in our step, because we're going with you, Lord, and you're going with us in your rhythms of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.